Good morning. It's a joy to speak to you today in the name of Jesus Christ. I hope you're having a good day. You know, every day with Jesus is a good day. The Bible says this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Again, the Bible says rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. And we rejoice in God who has given us all spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Well, there's a lot of discouragement in the world today, isn't there? Listening to the evening news, reading the newspaper, going through floods, tornadoes, hurricanes, the coronavirus, corruption in government, and the national election, and the polarization of our political parties. Yes, there's a lot of discouragement in the world today. Now this month, we remembered 9/11, September the 11th, 2001, when the Twin Towers were struck by big airplanes filled with fuel and 2,911 people died. The next day, the U.S. Senate designated September the 12th as a day of encouragement. Because there were 400 first responders who died on 9/11 trying to rescue people. And they were rescuing people regardless of color, politics, gender, ethnicity, or sexual preference. Over 400 of them lost their lives trying to save others. And so the Senate says, we need a national day of encouragement. Well, we do need encouragement, don't we? We're going to see today that it is a biblical mandate. It is a command from God that we rejoice in the Lord, that we encourage one another, and we encourage ourselves in the Lord. There are many precious words in the Bible to give us encouragement. This week, I found this one from Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified or afraid because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. And that's exactly what Jesus said when he said, go into all the world, teach all nations, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. And the book of Hebrews chapter 13 quotes this promise from Deuteronomy. It's found in other places also in the Old Testament. But it says, I will never, ever, no, ever leave you or forsake you. We can get a lot of encouragement from God and from His Word. Paul's first letter was probably Thessalonians. He had established this church and he was down in Athens now in his second missionary journey. And he had only stayed a short while in Thessalonica, and he sent a letter back to them to encourage them. And in the letter, here's some things he said. If you'll notice in chapter 2, Paul says at verse 11, for you know that we dealt with you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and his glory. Paul said, I spent time encouraging you. We all need encouragement, don't we? Then Paul in chapter 3 of the letter says that I sent Timothy to you because to strengthen and encourage you in your faith so that no one would be unsettled by persecution and trials. Then Timothy had returned to Paul in Corinth and brought him news how the brethren in Thessalonica had received the message of Paul. And he says, Timothy has come, and in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. Encouragement. Well, some in Thessalonica were concerned about those that die, and they die before the coming of the Lord, and what's going to happen to them? So in chapter 4, Paul said, well, the Lord is going to bring with him all the saints of the spirits of those departed saints. And they're going to come. And when they come, The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we that are alive will be changed in the likeness of the Lord, and so shall we be with the Lord forever. And then he closed by saying, therefore, encourage one another with these words. Then in chapter 5, Paul was writing about instructions to the church, and he said there, I want you to live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Well, you might say then that the book of Thessalonians is a book of encouragement, isn't it? But this encouragement is also found throughout the rest of the New Testament. It's found in Philippians and Colossians and Ephesians, and it's found in the writings of the apostles to say to churches, look, you need encouragement. We're here to encourage you, and you encourage one another. Well, encouragement surely is a Christian ministry. Possibly the greatest thing you will ever do in your life is to encourage someone else in their life. I like these words from William Barclay, who was a noted biblical expositor. He said, one of the highest of human duties is the duty of encouragement. It is easy to laugh at men's ideals. It is easy to pour cold water on their enthusiasm. It is easy to discourage others. The world is full of discouragers. We have a Christian duty to encourage one another. Many a time, a word of praise or thanks or appreciation or cheer has kept a man on his feet. Blessed is the man who speaks such a word. And I can say amen to that. In 1983, I was ministering with the Eldridge Road Church in Sugar Land, and that year they selected the Fort Bend School District Teacher of the Year, and the woman selected was Joy Lou Allen. I read about her in the report from the school district, and here's a story that she told about her school teaching. One of my favorite success stories happened while I was student teaching at Blue Ridge Elementary School. One student just did not care about his work. He did not study. He would not try to learn. He always made zeros on his spelling test, and that did not bother him at all. I began working with him and encouraging him to try getting just one word correct on his spelling test. Well, he did it. Then I talked him into trying two words, then three, and so on. And the whole class got behind him and worked to convince him he could do it. And he did. By adding one word at a time, he improved his grade each week until he made 100% on a spelling test. And he made 100% on every other spelling test I gave. The power of encouragement. And that's what the church is about. The scripture says that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but encouraging one another. You see, the purpose of the assembly is to worship God and to encourage one another. And one of the greatest ways we can serve God is by helping someone else. Didn't Jesus tell us that the second greatest commandment in the law is to love your neighbor as yourself? And Jesus taught us to think of others when he said, love one another as I have loved you. I was reading about a dentist out in California by the name of Dr. Smithwick, and he's a pediatric dentist, and other dentists would often send to him problem cases. And one problem case that was sent to him was of a five-year-old boy named Pete. And his 17-year-old mother had run away when he was a baby. And his father was in prison. And so his grandparents took him in and raised Pete. Well, Pete needed to go to the dentist, and he hated to go. And he fought against it. Finally, his grandmother got him to the dentist, to Dr. Smithwick. And she says this, "I still can't believe it. Every morning this week, Pete jumped out of bed and asked if this was the day he'd come back to see you. I have to tell him no, not for another 5 days, then four, then three. This morning he was so excited when I told him this was the day he was coming in." Then he continued. Then she continued, "Do you know why he was so eager to come back?" "No," Dr. Smithwick said. "Please tell me." "Because," she said, "you told him he was a good boy." You see, Dr. Smithwick had the ministry of encouraging his patients. He said something good about every patient, even if it was, "You're the best spitter I've had all day." But he said to this little 5-year-old boy, "You're a good boy." That encouraged 5-year-old Pete so much that he couldn't wait to come back to see this good man, his dentist. Well, when we encourage one another, we enjoy being with each other. We're built up. And the Bible says that it is a Christian duty to build up one another. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the word edify or build up is a dozen times. And Paul is simply saying that in our assemblies, we need to build up one another. And all the ministries of the church are for the purpose of making us stronger in the Lord. And that can come through teaching, that can come through encouragement, that can come through prayer, that can come from worshiping together, taking the Lord's Supper together, fellowshipping with one another, talking with one another. We encourage each other. Well, one of the greatest encouragers of all, as you know, is in the book of Acts, the story of the early church. And here's a man, his name, you may not recognize at first, it's Joseph. And he is a man from Cyprus. He's a Levite, which means that he came from a tribe where they helped the priests with the sacrifices. And he's a man that served throughout the book of Acts, at least in the first half. And you may not even recognize him by the name Joseph. But the Bible says, because he was such a good man and so full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and he loved and helped people, that they gave him the name, the nickname, Barnabas. Bar simply means son of, and the ending of the word comes from paraclete, which is comforter, a name for the Holy Spirit. And so the Bible says the apostles nicknamed Joseph Barnabas. And throughout Acts, in the other references to him, he is known as Barnabas, and the name Joseph is never surfaced again. But what did this man do that made him such a man of encouragement? Well, we can learn from him, and we can join the society of Barnabases, and we can be like him. There are four stories that I call your attention to in the book of Acts. The first is, the Bible says in Acts chapter 4 that there was a need in the Jerusalem church because of the widows needing food and supplies, and that the congregation was pooling their efforts to help him, and that Joseph, now called Barnabas, sold a piece of property and laid the money at the apostles' feet to help the needy widows. Here was a generous man. You know, he could have thought, well, I might need that land. I could sell it for a great amount, and I could pad my retirement. I could take care of my future needs. Who knows what may happen? But this man said, you know, I trust God. and there is a great need, so I'm willing to sell this property, and I'm going to give all the money and lay it at the apostles' feet. Harry Brown, who has Parkinson's now and preached for several years for the Johnsville Church of Christ out from Stephenville, a church that I'm now serving, a small church of 20 to 25 people every Sunday. Harry had the saying about the church, love flows from wall to wall. And he told the church, to believe is to love is to care, and to care is to share. Barnabas was a man like that. He was willing to share, to give, to help others. The second story about Barnabas is in Acts, the 9th chapter, verse 26. He introduced Saul of Tarsus to the church at Jerusalem. You see, the Bible says that Saul of Tarsus, before he became a believer, was persecuting the church. And he was dragging men and women off to prison. He even held the garments of those that stoned Stephen to death. But he was converted on the Damascus Road and baptized by Ananias 3 days later. And he immediately began to preach Jesus Christ. He went away for a while into Arabia. And then he came back to Damascus and met persecution. So he came down to Jerusalem. And when he got to Jerusalem, none of the brothers and sisters in the church, except Barnabas, wanted to have anything to do with him, because they probably told stories like, that's the man that arrested my father. That's the one that threw my mother into prison. That's the one that tried to make me blaspheme Jesus' name. And here he now sits and wants to have communion with us? No way. Well, Brother Barnabas believed in him, and he encouraged him by having faith in him. Barnabas was not suspicious. The Bible says, you know, love believes all things. And the best thing to do behind someone's back is to pat it. And that's exactly what Barnabas did. He did not hold a man's past against him. You know, Clyde Thompson was the meanest man in Texas. Spent several years in prison. A book was written about him. A movie was made about his life after he was converted to Jesus Christ and served for years in the prison system of Texas, telling others about Jesus. I'm so glad that someone didn't hold his past against him, but he could become a believer, be saved, and serve God. And that's what happened to Saul of Tarsus. And Barnabas took him and introduced him. He put his arm around him. He supported him. He took him to the apostles and vouched for him. So he believed in others. He was a generous man. He encouraged by having faith in others. The third story about Barnabas in the book of Acts is in Acts the 11th chapter. The Bible tells us there that the church had been scattered many places because of persecution in Jerusalem, and that some disciples had come north to Antioch of Syria. Now, Antioch of Syria was a large town. It was the third largest city in the Roman Empire after Rome and after Alexandria. And it was a city of several hundred thousand. And it was a wild and wicked city, like many big cities are, where everything is available. Immorality, gambling, chariot racing, all kinds of orgies and other distractions and sinful activities, betting clubs, nightclubs. It was a city, something like San Francisco or Las Vegas or New York or even Houston. And the disciples went to Antioch and they talked about Jesus. And many of the Jewish people were converted and formed a church. But then some disciples came from North Africa and from Phoenicia, and they began to meet with the church and to speak the word of God to people who were not of the same ethnic background. They began to teach the word of God to the uncircumcised heathen, the Gentiles, the nations of the world. And some of those Gentiles believed in Jesus and were saved. And there was a church there then that was meeting together, an integrated church with two different races, two different backgrounds, two previous religions, meeting together as one church in Jesus Christ, loving each other. Well, the Jerusalem church heard about it. They wondered, what is going on in Antioch? Have you heard the news? Well, they're even meeting together and eating together. And some of them are uncircumcised and they don't eat kosher food and they don't observe all the Jewish rituals. What are we going to do about it? Well, the Jerusalem church, we need to send somebody up there and check on it. So who did they choose? Did they choose a criticizer, a legalist, someone wanted to come in there and tear up the church, insist on his own way? No. They sent Barnabas. And the Bible says that Barnabas was a good man. It's the only time in the book of Acts anybody's called a good man. That he was a good man. He was full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. And so when he got there, he encouraged the church. He encouraged unity in the church. He helped build up the church. He spent time with them. And the Bible says he saw such a need that he went and got his friend Saul of Tarsus, who for 9 years had been up in Tarsus of Cilicia serving God. But Barnabas went and got him and brought him back to Antioch, and together for a year and a half, they worked together in the church at Antioch. So Barnabas brought Saul a second time into the ministry with him. And the Bible says the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. The Chinese people call a believer a Yasuman, which means a Jesus man. And that's exactly what happened at Antioch. They were Jesus men and women when they served God. And Barnabas was a key catalyst in encouraging and building that work and getting Saul to come. And from Antioch, that same city in Acts the 13th chapter, God sent Barnabas and Saul on their first missionary journey. And soon it was Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas was willing to play second fiddle, to bring someone even more qualified than him into the ministry, to help him and to work with him and to encourage him. And they served God together. Oh, what a good man Barnabas was. No jealousy in his heart at all. But then there's one more story about Barnabas in the book of Acts. It's in the 15th chapter. Paul and Barnabas had a successful year and a half first missionary journey. And when Paul said, you know, it's time to go back and visit all those converts and those churches that we made, let's go. And Barnabas said, yes, I'm ready. I want to take John Mark with us. And Paul said, oh, no. Now, you know, on our first journey, we took John Mark, but he turned back and he left us and he deserted us, AWOL. And we can't trust him again. We don't need discouragement. We cannot take the young man with us again. No more chances for him. Barnabas said, oh, he needs a second chance. Paul said, no. So Paul took Silas and headed out on his second missionary journey. And Barnabas took John Mark and took him to Cyprus, and they did mission work. Well, that's the last reference to Barnabas in the book of Acts. But he believed in the young man. He encouraged him. He gave him a second chance. You know, God gives us a second chance. Praise God, he does. He comes looking for the lost sheep, you know. The Bible says he gave a Nicodemus a second chance. He gave the woman caught in adultery a second chance. He caught the woman who washed his feet at Simon's house a second chance. He gave the thief on the cross a second chance. He gave Simon Peter a second chance. He gave Saul of Tarsus a second chance. And Barnabas was like Jesus. He gave John Mark a second chance. Well, 10 years later, the story has a positive ending because Paul writes about Mark assisting him in ministry. In the book of Colossians and Philemon, he's mentioned. And then, when When Paul's last letter came along, 2 Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy and says, look, the time of my departure has come. I'm about to leave this world. Come before winter and bring Mark with you, for he is helpful to me in ministry. That's the same John Mark. He redeemed himself. Who gave him the second chance? Who had faith in him? Brother Barnabas. So Barnabas is a good man, full of the Holy Spirit. He helped the poor. He was generous. He brought Saul of Tarsus into the fellowship with the disciples in Jerusalem. He helped build up the church in Antioch and served there in an integrated church and got Saul to help him. And that was a catalyst for the first missionary journey. And then he believed in a young man and gave him a second chance. Today, who are you going to encourage? I want you to join the Society of Barnabas. I want you to be a generous, big-hearted man. You know, in Alabama, they have an expression when someone's like this. Why, he has a heart as big as a number three washtub. Well, Barnabas did. And you can too. And you can serve Jesus like he did. So give, encourage others. Help the church to be at peace and to grow. And have faith in others. You'll be an encourager. You'll be like Barnabas, and most of all, you'll be like Jesus.